Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
They are after treating you good and treating you comfortably. I like it, don't you? I'm sure you do. Today, I'm going to give you my personal testimony. And I can't see you, Pastor Jeremy and Ashley, for having me come to share today, but I do thank you. I'm happy to be here. Now, I know that this congregation are here with expectation for our Lord to move mightily today. And I'm here also expecting Him to do His miracles, and not just in our physical bodies, but in our eternal souls. And I want to thank you also for any and all of you that have included me in your prayers. And I'm just blessed and touched to be among you, the family of God. And I'm trusting the Lord to touch each of us today and the days ahead. I did type out my little sharing today for the simple reason that it is easier for me to stay on track. I just wander around sometimes. Do you ever do that? Okay. So let's start with prayer. Let's bow our heads. Our Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, we come together to your throne of grace this morning. We thank you for this day, and we ask you to meet the needs of your people, that you send your healing angels to minister among us, your Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom and knowledge that we need just even in our everyday lives. I want to ask your special blessings on Pastor Jeremy and his family. I ask and I thank you for your anointing, that I may speak clearly and loudly enough to be heard by all of you. And everyone said, Amen. So we know that laughter does good like a medicine. And I want to start with something funny. I want to tell a little joke, and then you can say, man, that was little. But okay, here we go. A minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon. So four worms were placed into four separate jars. Thank you. Now see how nice he is? Isn't that great? The first woman was put into a container of alcohol, and the second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put in a container of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. But the fourth worm in good, clean soil was alive. So, the minister asked the congregation, what did you learn from this demonstration? Maxine was sitting in the back, and she quickly raised her hand and said, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. That pretty much ended that service. And I want to briefly share my personal testimony today of being miraculously healed of terminal ovarian cancer in 1965 after being given 2 weeks to 6 months to live. The cancer had metastasized throughout my entire body and was in stage 5. I recently read in the paper, the newspaper, that ovarian cancer is the worst cancer you can have. So this was all actually disclosed by a hysterectomy done earlier. Of course, this was devastating news. I had 2 young sons to raise, and one of them is here today, and I can't see you all. But anyway, raise your hand, Greg, and Karen, his lovely wife, and my grandson. I don't know if my grandson's here, but anyway, whatever. Thank you. So at that time, my husband was establishing a new company and working many, many hours to get this company off the ground, APF, American Plant Food. And there was no one to help me. So, and actually both of our mothers were working. So it was, I'll be honest with you, my dilemma was real. But many faithful Christians were praying for me and helping as they could. And neighbors were so wonderful. They brought food in. They helped all they could. Well, listen, people were good to me. Many pastors had their whole churches praying for me. I will tell you now, tears come to my eyes that I think about the goodness of those people. And I was so humbled by their kindness and concern. But we Christians are God's family on each other. We need each other. And God's word tells us in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 25, do not neglect the assembling of yourself together. So we need to attend church regularly. We need to tithe. We need to obey our Lord in all matters. Do I hear an amen, pastors? Amen. Amen. For we are the body of Christ, and we must function as one body with Christ as the head. So when you're going through a tough trial, and they can come, you need the help of the body of Christ to encourage you and stand with you. And thank God they were praying for me. Because you think, well, you know, coming through something like that and knowing the realness and the faithfulness of God, you wouldn't be saying anything about any more trials. But anyway, I, in 1965, with all the prayers going forth and the excellent nursing and Christian physicians' help, I was losing ground and would soon die from that scary word, cancer. My dear friend, Eileen Vale, had taken me to the doctor's when we heard the prognosis. Returned to my home, and she was too. We were just completely silenced by the no hope verdict. We just sat side by side on my sofa, but in my left ear, I heard an unseen something speak clearly these words: make a covenant with Satan, and you can live. I didn't tell Eileen about this proposition that had just been offered to me, and she didn't hear it. I want to insert this to encourage all that are mature in age, because we go through many trials. But the devil just never gives up. Would you believe, even to this day, he tries to have me agree with him? He says, it would be okay for you to die. After all, you're tired and you don't feel great, and you've lived longer than anyone in your family, so it would be better to die and feel good. But I resist the words, and I say, I will fulfill every day that my Father God has ordained for me here on this earth. And not one second will you, devil, take or persuade me to agree with you. You see, there is a spirit of death that will try to attach itself to you. Now, this is heavy stuff, but you need to know these things. So you have to put on the whole armor of God and resist it in Jesus Christ's name. I wanted to live. I wanted to raise the two sons God had given me. I thought of how faithful God had been in the past, especially when there was no one I could turn to. So, very calmly, with no hesitation, I made my decision. I would not make a deal with the devil. He is a liar. There's no truth in him. So you can't trust him anyway. God's word tells us this in John 10:10, that Satan is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And also in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stands not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. Man, that'll keep we Christians from telling lies. I hope. I thought, well, if I die, I just die. That night, after many sleepless nights, I slept soundly. Now later, it came to me that Catherine Kuhlman, I wish I could see you all. I just would love to know how many of you have the privilege of hearing from Catherine Kuhlman. But later it came to me in my home that Catherine Kuhlman, whose book I had just read, was holding miracle services every week in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So swiftly, I checked with my husband about my flying to one of her services. So preparing to go, I even wondered if I could make the necessary plane changes en route and so forth, as I was steadily growing weaker. Such last-minute decisions to travel alone, you know, it could be dangerous, as I might fall unconscious along the way. But somehow I knew it was God's will for me to attend Catherine Kuhlman's healing and miracle service in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I chose to call a few of my friends to see if they could make the trip, and none could. So I decided to go it alone, trusting my Father God for his help. So needing to call a dear friend, Marion Shockney, about another matter, I told her I was flying alone the next day to Pittsburgh, because I recall that she had previously lived in Pittsburgh, and she perhaps knew someone who still lived there whom I could contact in case I experienced some problem. Well, unfortunately, she didn't know anyone. However, she acted real excited, and she told me that she'd call me right back. So within minutes, she called, and she said, I'm going with you to Pittsburgh. Overcome, I said, Marion, how can you? Wow, see, right there, that's the proof of staying in a family of God, in a family of believers that can help you when you need help. Marion replied, "My mother is here. She will stay with my two sons and pay for my ticket. What time do we leave?" I could only weep and rejoice at God's provision with Marion as my travel companion and helper. You know, we've got a good and we've got a great Father God. He does provide for all our needs. Philippians, that's in Philippians, New Testament, chapter 4, verse 13. "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That is the good news. I'm going to read it again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Much encouraged, we flew to Pittsburgh the next morning. Arriving at our hotel, we began to experience some unexpected difficulties. I'm not even going to go into those. After a night's rest, Marion wisely suggested we go immediately to the auditorium where Catherine Kuhlman held her miracle service, which we did. Another friend had alerted her staff that we were flying to her service that day, and two seats were reserved for us near the front. Every seat was occupied, even the balcony. Well, after Catherine Kuhlman taught on healing, she chose to step down from the stage, and she invited those in need of healing to meet her in the center aisle. Man, I moved fast, and I stood in front of her. She laid her hand on my head and called a spirit of fear out of me. "In Jesus Christ's name," she said, "I plead the blood. I plead the blood." You know, I wish I could say it like she did. "Man, I plead the blood." She was speaking of the blood shed by Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, I just sunk to the floor under the anointing power in her hands. But the thought crossed my mind, as a Methodist lady, what if I fell to the floor? What will people think? Then I reasoned, who cares? I'm dying anyway. So when I got up, all fear had left. No one knew except the Holy Spirit that I had been experiencing real fear of dying. Fear is a strong spirit, and it must be resisted in the power and authority given to all the children of Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 1:7, we read, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I'm going to read it one more time. That's in New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So I was just joyful in the taxi returning to our hotel. I was not in fear of dying anymore. See, fear is the opposite from faith. Fear is an evil spirit, and it's the foe of faith. At home again, I still had one problem. I did not have fear of dying. However, I was still in the last stages of terminal cancer. I determined that I would get up very early in my home to seek the Lord. Again, without realizing it, I was being guided by the Holy Spirit. Before I knelt in prayer beside the living room sofa, I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit standing in the front hallway. He told me I had two sins that I should confess. I wanted to reply, "Are you kidding?" I'd confessed every sin possible, and I threw in a few extra ones just in case. But the Holy Spirit replied, "You have two unconfessed sins, stubbornness and presumption." I was shocked that I was strong-willed, a determined type of person, but I thought that was a virtue. As far as the sin of presumption, I frankly, to tell you the truth, I didn't even know what that word meant. So I certainly didn't think the Holy Spirit could be wrong about these two sins in my soul. However, I was just shocked that I was in sin and did not know it. Having attended church services and many Bible classes, I had never heard of or had been taught things that oftentimes we call virtues can be sins in God's eyes. Now, before I give you the example, I just thank God and the Holy Spirit that I'm getting to tell you this. I don't think that I've still ever heard it preached from the pulpit, probably plenty of times, and I just wasn't there. But anyway, stubbornness is idolatry. The Old Testament, the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination," which is witchcraft, "and insubordination," stubbornness, "is as iniquity and idolatry. For presumption is impatience." And Psalms chapter 19, verse 13, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be clear from great transgression." Also, at this time, the Holy Spirit told me to ask the Lord for mercy. And you who are prayer intercessors, I still use this verse so much and teach it to all that come to me that want to hear the word of God. It's in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. "It is of the Lord's mercies and loving kindnesses that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is abundant is his stability and faithfulness." So I obeyed the Holy Spirit and Almighty God in confessing my sins of stubbornness and presumption and asking the Lord for his forgiveness for these sins that his Holy Spirit had revealed to me. As I prayed on my knees at my living room sofa, I I don't know how to explain it except as clearly as I have it here. My heart seemed to feel slowly and peacefully from the bottom to the top with assurance that I was now totally healed. And I've remained without any cancer symptoms for over 50 years. To God be the glory. To God I give all thanks. Praise His holy name. So, if you need healing today, begin to speak out loud with your own voice the promises of God's word. Because of the beating by the Roman soldiers on Jesus' back, we say, by His stripes, I am healed. That's 1 Peter 2:24. Let's say it all together. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. In Mark 24, we have a record of Jesus healing the people. Jesus is our healer. He's the great physician. See, nothing's impossible with the Lord. Our wonderful surgeons and doctors and medical people can give us all the help they can, but sometimes it's hopeless. And we have to say, but nothing is impossible with the Lord. I want to tell you a few examples that I've had as I've gone about this ministry. One comes quickly to my mind. She was a beautiful black woman, and she came up for prayer, and she quietly whispered to me, "I have AIDS." She said, HIV, AIDS. She said she had repented, prayed, and believed the Lord could heal her. I said, well, I'll just lay my hands on you right now and pray, stand in agreement with you, pray with you. Well, I did. I laid my hands on her, and suddenly, I'm telling you, this woman began to turn red all over. I was really kind of scared. And she was hollering, and she said, "I'm on fire, I'm on fire." And I thought, we're going to have to call a medic, get help. Then I realized it was God and holy fire burning that disease out of her body. Thank God. He healed her of AIDS. Praise our God. Well, in another miracle meeting, a woman came up needing healing of her heart, and she was scheduled to have heart surgery the next morning. After prayer the night before, she kept her heart surgery appointment, but new x-rays disclosed her heart was healed. Surgery canceled. Again, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. So, when I was praying for today's meeting, I said, Lord, how should I pray for your people? And He said, just wave your arms from the pulpit, and I will heal them. Well, that was new for me because long lines usually formed, and it was very tiring and really hard on the people too, waiting to be prayed for. So He told me, just wave your arms from the pulpit and I will heal them. And I can't even see you out there, so I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. And God confirmed it with Acts for me. Acts chapter 4, verse 30.
by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So right now, so out of obedience, I want you to look to Almighty God and Jesus as I pray and expect him to touch you where you are. And some of you may be healed now, right now, or some of you may go like the 10 leopards did in Luke chapter 17, verse 12 through 14. And as they went, they were cured and made clean. Sometimes it also takes up to 3 days for others, or more for some. Well, during this time, don't stop taking your prescribed medication unless the Lord tells you to, and you get a new checkup by your physician for confirmation that you have heard from God. I am going to pray for you right now. Father God, I ask you this day for your mercy and loving kindness to touch each individual under the sound of my voice. Make my voice strong and clear so they can hear me. I thank you for the blood covenant we have by the shed blood of Jesus Christ for every single need that is needed here today. You, Lord, have made all things work together for those that love you. And your provision, whether it be for healing, financial, marriages, salvation for yourself, family or friends, deliverance from all bondages to drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, games, computers, TV, occult practices, Masonic involvement, or anything like astrology. In other words, anything or anyone you look to other than God, or anything of this world that has a stronghold on you. For Jesus came to set the captives free. We don't want to be captivated by anything. We read that in Isaiah 61, verse 1. So God, I call on your mighty name, your anointing and your power to set us free. Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal today any unforgiveness in anyone here, because we understand it's necessary to forgive everyone, everything, so that God can forgive you. And if it's for pride, forgive me and wash me clean of pride. For your holy word says in James 4:6, he, God Almighty, opposes the proud and gives grace unmerited to the humble. For a broken and contrite spirit, he will not despise. Sins are hidden sins like I had, so that true repentance will come forth now in Jesus. Together, let's pause right now and have the Holy Spirit convict and show us any signs in our heart, any sins in our hearts, our lives, and silently ask him, our Creator, Father, God, who loves you, to forgive you. If anyone is here today that has never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord in your heart, I want to give you this opportunity now to pray the sinner's prayer. So please repeat after me out loud. I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died on a cross and shed His blood for all my sins, and that you raised Him from the dead. I want to trust Him as my Savior, and I invite Him into my heart. I want to follow Jesus as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be healed. Be set free. Be delivered in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, holy name. I call you free. I call you healed in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.